You know, as I said, this church was birthed out of the college. And early in the school year, I was talking to our speaker this morning, Tristan. And the thing I really appreciated about him is he's a kingdom builder. And when I mentioned that, what I mean is, you know, I'm here at New Covenant Community Church because that's where God called me, but I'm building God's kingdom. Because I know as awesome as this room is, when we go to heaven, it's not going to be just us secluded in the room, man. We're going to be with all the other believers. So I'm just excited for that. And, you know, one thing I do want, I got some feedback this week from my wife, and I want to say something. Last week when I was speaking, I said something about, you know, I'm not going to stand in the way when the next person comes. I'm not looking to leave. Let me not say that. But I am not clinging to my position because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing I loved about this morning is it shows our future. You know what I see prophetically, young people, when I look out at some of these saints that have been experienced for years? I see a bunch of old hippies. If you want to know New Covenant, you go watch Jesus Revolution. You say, now I get it. But you know what? We're excited. And like I said, Tristan, come on up here. This man is a kingdom builder.
Oof. Thank you, Pastor Dick, for that warm introduction. It's an honor to be up here and speak in front of you all. I greatly appreciate everything UCOV has done for BASIC over the years and for welcoming college students like me. For those who don't know me, I'm Tristan Fordyce. I'm the current president of BASIC. I'm a graduating senior with a double major in psychology and wellness management and a minor in health science. And I'm also a full-time employee for Oswego County Opportunities. I'm glad before I leave SUNY Oswego, I get not to only experience a BASIC takeover, but I get to be a part of it. So before I start, I want to give this encouragement to all the parents out there whose kids are older and they don't seem interested in the church or the Lord. I grew up in the church, but as I got older, I definitely strayed away from the Lord, but I can never forget the importance of God and what the church has done for my life. No matter how crazy my life got or what sin I was in or doing, I could never forget God. So I'd like for you to keep praying for your children and to not get discouraged, because of the God we serve, hope is never lost. I can assure you, I did not think I would be up here if you asked me 4 years ago, but I can assure you, my parents have been praying for me and for my salvation. I came here to SUNY Oswego after graduating community college with a law degree and a drug problem. But before leaving, I will have preached my first sermon at the local church. Despite how given to the world I was, God was faithful to me. So keep praying for your children no matter what. And while you can, keep dragging them to church every Sunday. They might hate it while they're young, but they'll be better off for eternity. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in my life and in everyone's lives here. I just want to thank you, God, for all you have done and all you continue to do. So I thank you for your presence here and just for your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today I'll be preaching out of the book of Psalms. The Psalms is considered a book of poetry. In fact, the Psalms is a combination of 150 songs and poems to God. The word itself, psalm, means a sacred song or a poem used in worship. Psalms is the longest book in the Bible and has more authors than any other book in the Bible. The majority of the Psalms is written by King David at various points in his life. Today, we're going to look at specific Psalms written by Asaph, a singer, a musician, and a prophet during the time of King David and King Solomon. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 73, We'll focus on a few set of verses in this chapter, and I highly recommend you read the full chapter when you get the time to do so. So I will be reading from the NIV. So I'll first read chapter 1 to 6. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I've envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human life. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Then I'll go down to verse 12. This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth and have washed my hands surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Verse 21 to 28. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. I was originally going to preach this sermon for a basic meeting, but I decided to save it once Pastor Dick told me he wanted me to speak at the next basic takeover, hence why we delayed it so much. As a college student, I know I could relate to this, but I also knew everyone here could relate to this to some extent. He starts off by being honest with himself and God. He saw that the wicked people around him were prosperous. They seemingly had no struggles. They were prideful and carefree. He was envious. He envied the wicked people he saw. We are in a digital age where we have access to millions of people around the world, and we get a small little glimpse of their life through posts of pictures and videos on social media. That small little glimpse is enough to make us envious of other people. That glimpse can affect our perception of their lives. If we are honest with ourselves, you'll know we are often envious of the people of this world. Envy is strong. It's evidenced by its grip on the world. We are in a culture of comparison because of social media. There is a record high in eating disorders and other mental health disorders like anxiety in teens and adults alike. Envy is also strong in the lives of Christians. It's strong in its pull towards doubt. In these verses, verse 13 and 14, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishment. The envy in his heart led him to doubt the goodness of God. This may be true about some of you. Maybe today you are doubting the goodness of God in your life. But verse 17 is powerful. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. I repeat it. I'll just repeat those few words again. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. This is the key, the way to combat envy in your heart. Having that time spent with God. To be envious of the world as a Christian is to not appreciate what you already have. This isn't to shame you, because I'm surely guilty of this myself. In verse 21 to 22, he understands how foolish he's been because of the envy in his heart. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. The remaining verses of the chapter, he goes on to describe the faithfulness of God in his life and the importance of remaining faithful to God. During my long journey of coming into faith in Christ, there were two books of the Bible that stood out to me, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. I was in a phase of my life where I desperately needed wisdom the most. So I'm going to pull a couple of verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The book of Ecclesiastes is unique in its writing. It shows us how we as humans try to build meaning and purpose in our lives apart from God. It's widely understood that King Solomon is a writer for both Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. So I'll be reading Ecclesiastes 2, 1 to 11. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what is good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well as the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And all of this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing. My eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and that was the reward for my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. I love the contrast between the two chapters. The psalmist is actively denying himself while envious of the world before concluding that there's nothing to gain from the world, while Solomon is doing the absolute reverse. He's actively enjoying everything the world had to offer. He denied himself nothing before coming to the same conclusion that there's nothing to gain from the world, and it was all vanity. Their conclusion both helped them understand what mattered, their relationship with God. To close, we shouldn't be envious of the people who've won the world when we've gained eternity. I know it's hard because we live in a culture of comparison and a digital age. We must remind ourselves what's truly important by spending quality time with God. The more time you spend with God, the more you can truly understand how much you've won. And you can also combat envy that slowly creeps into your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for your continuous love in our lives. And please help us to remember what's truly important, and that's you. This world is filled with distractions that could just take us away from you. Please help us to just stay focused on the one thing that truly matters. Keep the main thing, that is you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sing through doubt and fear, but in the end we see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. And there will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever He shall reign. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. To our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
I want you to close your eyes, because in a minute, Tristan's going to pray for you. We don't do church the new covenant. We are the church. God spoke to me today about hope. Places where, can I be honest with you, I've struggled. And God is saying today, I have hope for you. I've spoken to you through a new generation. I have shown you what the church is. And I want to say something. I strongly feel God wants me to have Tristan close in prayer, but you got to take part in it. There's some of you that you're on the verge of giving up hope. You've been beaten up. You've been struggling with something. And God is saying, I am releasing the chains. I am releasing my power into your life. You need to walk in it. You need to walk in my hope. You need to know the goodness of the Lord. But this is what I know. You can stay in your seat. I get that. It might be uncomfortable. I wanted to call you forward, but I'm just going to ask you with every eye closed, about 20 seconds, he's going to pray. But I'm going to ask you to quietly raise your hand if you need a touch from the Lord today. If you don't, but you know you should, I'm really thinking you're going to miss out on a blessing. Because when God tells me to respond, man, I got to respond.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And we pray that we trust you. We trust the words that you've spoken, the words of your Bible. You have said in your word that you, if anyone seeks you, they will find you if we seek you with all our hearts. So please help us to seek you with all our hearts. Please help us to truly trust you. Please help to take away any doubt we have. Please help us to have faith in you. Please help us to please help us to grow in our faith and our understanding of who you are and your love. I just want to thank you, God, for just everything you're doing in our lives. Just, you never gave up on us, and you'll never give up on us. So why do we doubt you? So please help us to just grow in faith and understanding and just grow in love. We thank you, God. We just want to thank you for just bringing us all here today, for getting us here safely, for watching over us. Just thank you, God. I remember one time in the third grade, my teacher mentioned that people don't thank God enough. And I just want that to be your prayer today. Thank you. Because we know that you're faithful. And we just want to thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Just another verse.
Amen.